Warm welcome.
I went into the ministry when I was three. Just never could figure out how to stop. Well, good morning, y'all. I know it's going to come as a shock to some of you, but I'm from the South in the United States. I'm born in Kentucky. My sweetie was born in Kentucky. We're both Kentuckians. And then we grew up wherever. And then we raised our kids in Nashville, Tennessee, pretty much. And then we moved. The last time we were here, we lived in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. And I think I told you once, we always leave the mountains of North Carolina to come over here to get away from all the Irish. Because we got more Irish in those Irish folks in those hills than there are trees. And this is our 20th time to Ireland. And we've loved every one of those trips, and we'll keep doing it for another 44 years if we can. Being from the South and all, is it okay if I sort of just change directions this morning? Simon, can I borrow your guitar? I'm going to just do a little music this morning. I don't ever do that anymore. So you're the unlucky ones. So we're gonna ask the ushers to guard the door when I start playing. So, can I borrow that drum too? Will it set? I just want to set it over here, and get me. And could you get me one of those chairs? Yeah, watch how quickly this falls apart. Yeah, there we go. You set that over there. Take that away. Take the big white thing away. There we are. What a crew. There you go. Yeah, I don't need the napkins either. All right. You know, just take the whole thing away. Just drag it away. Just take it out back and burn it. Yeah. Yeah, the guitar. Yeah, and a microphone. Now, I don't need the drum to play. I just needed it as a table. Now, you know what? I think I've changed my mind. I think I'll just... There we go. Yeah, we'll use this one instead. There you go. Take that one away. Stephen? Oh, that's as far as that goes, huh? Thank you, sir. There you go. No, I don't need a monitor. I've heard me before. It doesn't help for me to hear it, and it never helps for me to rehearse. Those things just don't work. But I do need the guitar. Where did it? Will it reach over here? All right. Oh, I got a pick. Yeah. I come prepared. Let's see. Is it on? This is. This is an old Chinese folk song called Tuning. I'm sorry. That was terrible right there. I was just in the wrong key, I think. Well, it's all downhill from here on out. Just glad Noel's not here to have to suffer through this. Well, this is a song about David. David a man after God's own heart. He wound up on the backside of a desert. That's where a lot of things took place in his life that wouldn't have happened any other way, you know. Gotta get used to the neck on your guitar. I think I gotta get used to my hands. My hands are old in the morning. It's a small neck. Don't try this at home. I'm a professional. I'll see if I can tie it to me, and if it don't run off, maybe it'll help. He was a boy on the backside of a desert, wondering if he'd ever get out. He was herding and watering and feeding and leading. He said, "Is this what my life is all about?" He knows he had to stay 'cause his father sent him there, though every day he hoped for his chance. That chance didn't come till he could stand there in the desert, raise his hands and have reason to dance. David danced his way out of the desert. Harp in hand, he kicked up his heels. He's after God's own heart, and he plays upon his harp, delightfully dancing in his Father's will. Well, I walked around for years in the desert, wondering if I'd ever get out. I was slipping and tripping and blundering and wondering, well, is this what my life is all about? I know I had to stay 'cause my father sent me there, though every day I hope for my chance. That chance didn't come till I could stand there in the desert, raise my hands and have reason to dance. I danced my way out of the desert. Harp in hand, I kicked up my heels. I'm after God's own heart, and I play upon my harp, delightfully dancing in my Father's will. I danced my way out of the desert. Harp in hand, I kicked up my heels. I'm after God's own heart, and I play upon my harp, delightfully dancing in my Father's will. Well, this is a song about getting baptized. How many of y'all been baptized? Well, I don't know about you. I don't believe in this sprinkling thing. I'm all about dunking. And the reason is because it's symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of the old man into the newness of life. And when I die, I don't want them to just throw dirt in my face. I want them to bury me. And that was supposed to be quite a bit funnier than what you thought it was. But I'll be patient with you while we do the sound check. But once we get the sound set, y'all better laugh more than that, or I'll just get up and walk out, you understand? No, anyway, this is a song about getting baptized. Lord, I'm going down to the river. Lord, I know you'll hear this prayer. For Lord, while I'm down at the river, I ask you to drown the old man and leave him there. Lord, it makes no difference if it thunders. I don't care if a bird don't land on my head. As long as I know I'm a new creature, and the old man I was is finally dead. I went down to the river, my sins got a soaking. Down at the river, devil got a choking, and everybody knows I'm no longer in sin. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I got the one thing I needed the most. The old man moved out, and a brand new man moved in. Blub, blub, the old man is gone. Blub, blub, he found a new home. Blub, blub, he's in the bottom of the river.
blub blub, I can sing and shout, blub blub, the old man washed out, blub blub, I'm a new life liver, blub blub, the old man is gone, blub blub, he found a new home, blub blub, he's in the bottom of the river, blub blub, I can sing and shout, blub blub, the old man washed out, blub blub, I'm a new life liver. Well, blub blub, the old man's gone, blub blub, he found a new home, blub blub, he's in the bottom of the Liffey. Blub blub, I can sing and shout, blub blub, the old man, you know, I know
that, how many, the Bible says that I will do a new thing in the midst of my people. How many of y'all have ever sung blub blub in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning in Dublin, Ireland, see? So God's going to do a new thing in your life today. I don't have the band with me, so it's going to be like you're the backup singers, okay? It'll be like Ray Hughes and the Pips. And you'll just have to figure out which one you are. I'm Ray Hughes. Are you ready? Okay, here.
On the road again.
That's a different song. Sometimes I just forget where I am. There, what song are we? Oh, I remember. Here we go. Now, here's your part. Your part is you go. Blub blub, the old man is gone. Blub blub, he found a new home. Blub blub. Yeah, that's it. Now this is going to be more fun than we deserve, I'm sure. Here we go now.
Blub blub, the old man is gone. Blub blub, he found a new home. Blub blub, he's in the bottom of the river. Blub blub, I can sing and shout. Blub blub, the old man washed out. Blub blub, I'm a new life liver. One more time. Blub blub, the old man is gone. Blub blub, he found a new home. Blub blub, in the bottom of the river. Blub blub, I can sing and shout. Blub blub, the old man washed out. Blub blub, I'm a new life liver. Dip that diddle little little bow wow.
Oh Lordy, we're in trouble now. Let's don't let Noel know about this. All right, we're having way too much fun without him. Some years ago, my sweetie and I, we'd been what ministry? However many 30 years or a long time. And what happened was is. What happened was, is we got, after all those years of traveling, flying everywhere, you know, living most of our life in an airplane, I tell people I live at 30,000 feet and just come down and talk and go back up. And we just got tired, you know, we don't see much on an airplane. You just see the back of somebody's head while somebody's sneezing on the back of your neck and they're kicking the seat and you're feeling glamorous traveling all over the world. And we got kind of tired of that, and so we got us a big old, one of those big old buses, you know, like a big old coach. We see them running around, but this was like a motor coach, you know, big old 40-foot thing, big old windows. I think, we're going to see America. And we were living in Nashville, Tennessee at the time. We left out of Nashville, and we were heading to Montana. And we headed out across the plains, in the plains of Kansas and Oklahoma and places like that. And like West Texas, some of the flattest places in the world, you know. And I got to see things I'd never seen in my life. I got to see, for example, I saw an entire train. Where I'm from, you never see an entire train because I'm from the hills and the hollers, you know. But now here you could see an entire train at one time. I'd never seen that because I'd never been in places that flat. There's places in West Texas you can stand and look west and see the back of your head. It's that flat. Oh, yeah. And they got these big old ranches out there. They'll have a ranch, and they'll have 90. As a fellow there, had a 96,000-acre ranch. I don't even know how big is 96,000 acres. Is that from here to Galway or what? I don't even know how big 96,000 acres is on one ranch. And We were there. It's actually a friend of mine, and we were there ministering to him. He was going through a horrible time, his terrible time in his life. His dog had left home. And we sat on his front porch and watched that dog leave for 3 days. You see that dog. And I asked him, I said, now what in the world would anybody do with a 96,000-acre ranch? Well, you're going to mow it or what? Or just let your dog walk on it, or, you know? And I don't know if you've ever been to West Texas, but that's where all people talk and don't ever move their teeth. You ever meet somebody from West Texas? How y'all doing? You just come on. Glad to have y'all here. They never move their teeth. And I believe one of the reasons is because it's so flat and so sandy out there, they don't get sand in their mouth because the winds are blowing up. But I found out that the reason they have these huge big spreads, like 96,000 acre ranches, is because out there the ground is so poor and so sandy, you know, just that they run one cow per 42 acres. One cow on 42 acres. Where I'm from in Kentucky, bluegrass state, we'll run a whole herd of cows on an acre, you know, because it's rich, lush green like you got over here. I got my calculator out and figured it up. I determined that in West Texas, a cow has to graze at 40 miles an hour just to stay alive. If it's one cow per 42 acres. But anyway, we were headed to Montana. And so going across Kansas, and then we'll come across Wyoming, and that's what, and the wind is just blows. There's nothing to stop the wind out there. It's just blowing through. And we're in this big old 40-foot coach, windows, you know, like big, you know, big as that screen up there, the front windows are. So you just see the big sky, you see everything in front of you, and the wind's just rocking this thing. And we're buzzing along there, and I'm fighting this thing all day through the wind. And then come almost dark time, and then all of a sudden these, I don't know if you've ever seen a Wyoming bug. Bugs in Wyoming are amazing. I mean, the biggest bugs you've ever seen in your life. They're just hitting the windshield like this. I thought somebody was throwing chickens at us. It was the biggest bugs I'd ever seen. Oh, yeah. They got mosquitoes there that'll stand flat-footed and kiss a turkey right smack in the mouth. But now, anyway, we're driving along, and all of a sudden, bugs are hitting the window. The wind's fighting. My dog is sitting over here in the seat, and she's scared, you know, And while we're just fighting all this stuff like that, and I don't know, it's a really kind of a sad thing. When those things hit the windshield, that look they have on their face, right after they hit the windshield, because you know the last thing that goes through their mind. You know. But we won't get into that. But it's a horrible, tragic thing, and you just start feeling sorry for them. But we... all the way across there, and we finally got to Miles City, Montana. And we pulled in a place where we're going to spend the night there in Miles City. We're actually going to be at a church there for 3 or 4 days. We pulled that coach in, and I got to set everything up, you know. And so I pulled, get out of the coach, and I said, well, sweetie, I'm going to get it all set up here. And I just stepped right out of the coach, and about as close as from me to you, right up on this post, there, like just a post standing there, there was a bird jumped up on this post and started singing to me. And I just was startled by this, and just singing this pretty song. And then I start to walk away, and he don't move. He just keeps singing. And I said, sweetie, get out here. Look at this. You're not going to believe. And so she came out and brought Sadie, our bulldog, American bulldog, stepped out with her, and we're standing this close, and that bird is just singing. The bulldog is sitting here. The bird is not afraid of us. It's just like he's welcoming us to the land. And stand there for 5 or 10 minutes, and I'm thinking, well, this bird's going to sit here and sing all. I got to get to work. I got to get. It's getting dark. I got to get stuff set up. I got to get these bugs off the window before they go to seed, you know. So I just said, y'all go back in, and I'm going to go. So I walked around the other side of the coach, and that bird flew up into the air and went around to the other side of the coach and landed on a post about 4 or 5 feet from me and kept singing. And we were there, as long as we were there, that bird was singing to us. And it was the most beautiful song. It was a meadowlark is what it was. It turned out to be the state bird of Montana. And while we were there, we just left the windows open, let the breeze blow through, and we just listened to this bird sing all day, from daylight to dark. What they call in Ireland, they would call from lark to lamb. It was singing all day. Now about 2 days into this, now you can't tell anybody about this, all right? But about 2 days into this, I started singing back. So we just started singing to each other. And we actually wrote a song together. Now we were there about 3 or 4 days, and I remember that these Amish friends that we'd met, these Amish folks said, if you're ever in Montana, please come and visit us if you're ever in the neighborhood. And so I got out the map and looked. They were from Libby, Montana. We were in Miles City, Montana. I looked at the map, and it was only about 10 hours. And in Montana, that's neighborhood. So we just drove over to Libby, Montana. And when we drove into this place, they build log homes. And when we pulled in on their big old property, there's a big sign above the gate, and it said Meadowlark Log Homes. And when we pulled in there and we stopped, there was a meadowlark jumped up on the fence and sung to us for 4 days. And I wrote the second verse with him. So. I'm gone back to Montana, where the antelope run and the coyote still roam. I'm gone to where the wind is a wild one, and it can only be stilled by a meadowlark song. He sits on the high wire, he stands on the low ground, he prophesies God's heart to the day. This warbling little warrior sings a chorus for us. He has more than just something to say. Rise and praise him. Winds obey him. River amaze him. As you carry new life to the sea, creation story. Sunshine is glory, 'cause I'm just a little bird. Don't leave all this worship up to me. I'm gone back to Montana, where the pines stand like angels and point to the throne. I'm gone to where the sky is forever, where you can stand anywhere and always see your home. And he sings to the high wind, he sings to the dry ground, in the cool of the night he just prays. While the slow moon is fading, he's patiently waiting till the sun tells him just what to say. To rise and praise him. Winds obey him. River amaze him. As you carry new life to the sea, creation story. Sunshine is glory, 'cause I'm just a little bird. Don't leave all this worship up to me. Oh.
leave all this worship up to me. I'm gone back to Montana.
Y'all don't have to leave. I'm not going to sing but one more. Every time I sing, I get a standing ovation. It's usually... Oh, Lordy. There's a... and over in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, there's a... You know, look how important it is that all of creation sings. All of creation sings. And and it's one of the reasons it's important that we find the song of our life, find the expression of our heart that best sings who we are. I last time I was here, I told y'all the story about how you can walk into a forest, you know. You can walk into a forest where all of creation's doing what it's created to do. The trees are treeing, and the leaves are leaving, and the worms are worming, and the birds are singing, and all those birds are just singing. There's this symphony of sound that's happening in the forest. But when you walk into the forest, the birds will stop singing. Because the fear of man will take your song away quicker than anything. Because they don't know if you're an enemy, you're a predator. They don't know who you are. And they experience that fear of who you might be in that moment. And they lose their song. And it's so true with so many of our lives, the fear of man, or the fear of life, or the fear of the unknown. There's so many fears that are opposite of the true expression of who we are. We're not created to be afraid. We're created to be alive. We're created to be full of the song of the Lord. And you know, there's a... And when we find our truest song and we find our truest us and we sing it, it's like all of heaven comes into agreement with our song, because our song has come into agreement with what the Lord has declared and determined for our lives, right? So there's that agreement. Symphonio is what the Bible calls it. It's a Greek word, symphonio, where two or more agree. Where actually that agreement is coming into harmony with what we're created by God to be. But there's this little boy, his name was Claude Ely. And Claude was about 12 years old, and he realized he was going to die. In Big Stone Gap, Virginia, it's coal mining country, you know, and it's a lot of poverty. And like from Kentucky, where I'm from, there's a lot of poverty and loss and hurt and abuse and abandonment and drunkenness and drugs and all those things that are there that define our culture. And that's the kind of culture that was there around the poverty of the coal mines. But the doctor said, well, he's going to die and there's nothing they can do. And Claude's daddy was a coal miner, and his mama, I think she worked as a housekeeper for somebody, and they had to go to work every day, and they'd have to leave Claude there by himself. And back in those days, you know, couldn't afford a doctor, and if they could afford a doctor, it'd probably be some old fellas, you know, going to pump them full of horse pills or something. Probably do the best they can, but it was just an awkward knowing that every day you go off to work, you don't know when you come home if your little boy will still be alive or not. But sometimes poverty don't give us a whole lot of options. But anyway, they day after day they would wonder if Claude would still be alive. One day they walked in on the porch, and they heard him say, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." They could hear this little boy laying there just singing a song over and over and over. "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." And it turned out that Claude found his song. Because when he began to sing, you know, "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." What was he doing? He accessed the possibilities of God and began to sing that as expression, rather than "I'm dying in this old bed and, you know, dig me a hole and put me in it" kind of songs. He found his song. And he wound up singing that song, and guess what? He didn't die. He wound up that song kind of made him famous, and he said as long as he would do all those old tent meetings, old camp meetings in the mountains up there, and he said as long as he'd stand and hold that note, then more Pentecostal women would bang on the tambourine and shout. And they said it created enough of a knowing of who he was that he wound up making it as far away as Tupelo, Mississippi, where there was a mother that used to bring her little boy in to hear Claude Ely sing. And that mother was a Jewish lady who was married to a Welsh man, and they had a little boy named Elvis Presley. And Elvis was so moved by the sound of Claude Ely's song that it compelled him and inspired him to find his song as well. And you never know what's happening when you find your song. It may look like death, it may look like despair, it may look like everything's over, but right in the times where you have nothing left but God, that's where you find out that God is enough. And that's what happened with Claude. But so this is a mountain song. How many of y'all ever heard of Hillsong? Well, this ain't it. This is Song from the Hills instead of Hill Song. All right. Just for clarity there. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. And when I hear that trumpet sound, I'll get up out of this ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. We'll go down yonder, Gabriel, put your feet on the land and the sea, but don't you blow no trumpet till you hear from me. Look way over yonder, I see the people all dressed in white. I know they was God's people, but I could see them all doing right. And they ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. 'Cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. We'll look way over Jordan, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they are coming after me. I'm going to the Jordan, I'm gonna bury my knees in the sand. I'm gonna holler the high hosannas until I reach that promised land. 'Cause there ain't no grave I'm gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. 'Cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Well, look way over yonder, now what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they are coming after me. Meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if my wings should fail me, I'll just grab another pair. 'Cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. And there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Let's sing it all together now. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of this ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Well, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you something. A grave is not just a hole in the ground. A grave is anything that can hold you with the understanding of death. If death is more, if death to the vision and death to your life is more predominant in your heart than living the life God called you to live, you're already dead. And the thing is we don't have to live with this sense of death around us. I come from seven generations of redneck non-achievers. I come from seven generations of abuse and drunkenness and darkness and incest and all kinds of violence, all kinds of dark demonic stuff, and that was death. But in August of 1971, I passed from death unto life because I gave my heart to Jesus at a rock and roll dance. Somebody told me about Jesus in the middle of a song called Enigata de Via. I got saved. And because I passed from death unto life. Now, there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, you know what? A lot of times, that trumpet sound is not just about someday by some cloud, by some gate to shake mama's hand in glory land kind of stuff. There can be a trumpet blast that awakens you to who you are today, because that trumpet blast represents a prophetic call upon your life. And you know, the prophetic is not about telling you what to do. The prophetic is about awakening who you are. And so if you hear the word of the Lord to your life saying, you know what, I'm not going to continue in the walking in the death that I am. I'm going to come fully alive to what Jesus has created me for. That's what happened with Claude Ely. His song came alive. His life came alive. His identity came alive. His purpose came alive. Everything came alive because he sung a song that awakened his spirit man, and then he lived his life according to the spirit rather than the death and the poverty and the hurt and the loss and all that stuff, you know. So I want us to sing it as a prophetic proclamation, not over our lives, over our families' lives, and over the Lord brings to your heart, over your nation, over your neighborhood, over your situation. That's what that little 12-year-old boy did, and it changed everything for him. It became his song. So may it be our song today. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up off of this ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh, let's sing it. Well, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. And when I hear that trumpet sound, gonna get up out of this ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Well, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of this ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Now let's sing this as our new song now. Lord, I exalt thee.
I exalt Him. I exalt Him. Oh, Lord. I exalt Him. I exalt Him. I exalt Him. Oh, Lord. I exalt Him. I exalt Him. I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, oh Lord.
Lord, we bless You today. We honor You today, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You've caused us to pass from death unto life, Lord. And we exalt You above all gods that have raised themselves up against the knowing of Your precious presence in our life, Lord. And there are dark enemies that have come against some of the hearts and the minds and the lives of people in this room. And we declare, Lord, You are far above all other gods that have exalted themselves. And you know, there's people here this morning that need prayer. More than you need our prayer, you need His presence. So what we're going to do is we're going to let this be our prayer. And we're going to exalt Him above everything, anything that would try to raise itself above the knowledge of Jesus in your life. Let your response be unto Him. For Thou, O Lord, art high, You're above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For Thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Oh, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee. Oh, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee. Oh, Lord, let's sing it one more time as our prayer. Lord, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee. Lord, I exalt Thee, I exalt Thee, oh Lord.
Amen. We exalt You, Lord. We honor You, Lord. We bless You, Lord. Amen.